Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Hello, have I got a treat for you today. You're going to hear from one of the pioneers in bringing digital technology to the masses, from Robin Raskin. Now, if you've gone to the Consumer Electronics Show in the last 2 years, you've probably run into Robin's work as she has been producing the Living in Digital Times series of conferences and exhibits like Mommy Tech, Kids at Play, Digital Health, and Silver Summit. Robin is featured as a daily columnist on Yahoo Tech and has been the editor-in-chief of Family PC, editor of PC Magazine, columnist for USA Today, on and on. She's a real expert in this field, and she has been championing some of the most interesting initiatives in digital technology. So I'm really looking forward to introducing her to you. So welcome, Robin.
Well, thanks. It's nice being called a treat.
Well, I'm very excited about the work that you're doing, and I wanted to give you an opportunity just to talk about, what is Living in Digital Times, and why did you start it?
Okay, so this is going to go back. I've been married 30 years, but when we were freshly married, I was an aspiring journalist. My husband was the world's biggest geek. He comes home and he says, throw out your typewriter. I've got a terminal connected to my university, and you're going to love it. I'm going to teach you Unix, and you'll never have to type again. I'll bring home a printout every night. And anyhow, he taught me a few things, and I said, this man is totally out of his mind. This is, like, really hard. But I also realized there was something going on there, so I quickly got out my typewriter, and I wrote something called How I Learned About Computers to Save Our Marriage. I sent it to InfoWorld. I got paid $25, and it basically said that I think this technology is pretty hard to use, but I think that women in particular who have life choices to make about raising families, going to offices, someday soon this is going to get really real, and we're all going to have all this choice, so I'm on the plan, and I'm learning it. And that was all I ever had to do in terms of a job. I was just right time, right place, and PC Magazine called and said, can you write more about technology? I said, no, that's really all I know. And they said, sure you can, come on in. And so I kind of learned on the job, like so many of us do, worked in magazine publishing for a long time. But I also went to CES every year, and I saw that the booths were getting really big and expensive, and there was very expected. Here was the Samsung booth, and here was the HP booth, and there was nothing tying them all together. And there was no room for new ideas, and there was no room for people without like $500,000 in their pockets. So I asked if I could start an area devoted to lifestyle, and thinking I could take all those little vendors that could barely afford to be at CES and put them in an area that they could call their own, and because it was the sum of them, it would make bigger noise. And I started with kids, because that was my first area of expertise, Kids at Play, and then I added Silver Summit, Digital Health, Sports and Fitness, Higher Ed Tech, Mommy Tech, and two contests that we do for fun. One is called the Mobile App Showdown. One is called the Last Gadget Standing. And just last year, we added one of my favorites, a wearable technology fashion show. I don't do them all alone anymore. I have some great experts working with me. But the idea is to take small companies and at a very low-cost price give them a chance to be a part of this world and educate the CES people who come about this world. So we have a conference and an exhibit. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And what has been the reaction? I mean, do you feel like folks in the CE industry are getting it and they understand the full potential of these lifestyle areas that you've been working on?
I do. And I think they really appreciate it because actually, if you think about it, they've diversified. So you take a company like Sony or Samsung. They have products that they've now built with an older market in mind. They have products they've built with a younger market in mind. So now that they've mastered sort of the art of building laptops, notebooks, mobile phones, tablets, they can start to put in the features that will apply to different lifestyles. I'm a business person. My gaming speed, you know, doesn't matter that much. I'm a woman in technology. I like to look both fashionable and stylish and high tech. So they're starting to really come out with lines of products and marketing campaigns to reach all of us. You know, some go for the grandmother. They want you to be in touch with your family and grandkids, the sort of McDonald's commercial, you know, tug at your heartstrings.
Right.
And so what they need to understand to be successful is what this market wants. For example, parents with kids want to know there's some safety, there's no advertising in the middle of it, or you're going to hit something that says, okay, to go further, pay me $100. They need to know older people like big buttons on things and the text that you can read. They need to know that a television doesn't require a PhD in remote control to use. So by hearing from, we mix the technology industry, educators, journalists, policymakers, attendees, bloggers, all into one room, and we have conversations about all of these issues. Is 3D bad for your eyes? Can you really lose weight if you stand in front of your Kinect, your Microsoft Kinect, those kind of questions.
Right. Well, good. And you've mentioned two areas that I want to dig into a little bit more deeply. One is fitness and the other is fashion. So let's start with fashion. And you had mentioned this wearable technology, and I also understand that you were at South by Southwest with an exhibit for this. So tell me, what is this and what are you doing?
Okay, so if you think about it, you know, every industry has changed because of technology, but the slowest dinosaur one is fashion. I mean, it really hasn't changed probably since like Gore-Tex was invented and the nylons before that. So our fashion tech, we look for young designers who are really incorporating technology into their fashion design. At CES, we worked with a young woman named Diana Eng, and Diana would do things like create a motion control dress. So imagine 1,000 little LEDs, but the faster you move, the more they shimmer. There was a dress that, if you looked through your camera viewfinder to take a picture of it, it looked completely different than without it. There was a jacket good for blind people. It had sonar in the front, and if you were about to hit a wall, it started to vibrate. So they're both functional. There's a lot of solar clothing. There are pocketbooks that recharge your cell phone while it's in it. There's new fabrics that change temperature according to your body heat. So imagine even in the dead of winter wearing a thin little jacket that keeps you warm, because it changes its density and composition. So we're seeing like these amazingly cool things. And what we do in the fashion show is we try and tell a story. So here's the evening wear high-tech mom. She's got her sound control dress on. So as the music changes, her dress is constantly changing, colors and patterns. She's got shoes with LEDs that, depending on how she walks, how much they light up. She's got her handbag with her Prada phone in it that's just bling heaven. You know, jewelry made from chips. So we look for interesting things to put together into a story. And unlike other fashion shows where people just walk down the runway, With tech, you need narration because nobody really understands what's
right.
so techy about it. Like, you could walk down the runway and it looks like you're just wearing Nike sneakers to me, but, oh, by the way, those sneakers are talking to your iPhone, you know?
Right.
So we're very excited. We think one of the things that we're good at is figuring out where tech is going to be important next. And it turns out that, you know, fashion and, as you mentioned, sports and fitness and digital health are key areas for a lot of reasons. It's like all the pieces came together. And the pieces are mobility, the fact that you can connect to the internet anywhere, sensors so that you have outside world, heat, sound, light, being able to control things, really small chips, and all of this gets fed back into a microprocessor. So it's sort of those four things all happened at the same time and made all of this possible.
It kind of seems like we're in this very exciting time, you know, where we're seeing glimpses of what's possible, but perhaps the next 5-10 years, where it's really going to just explode, and there's going to be a lot more things that we can't even imagine, really. Now, one thing that going back to this, fitness angle, I'm curious if you can tell me, this year at CES was the inaugural event of the Sports and Fitness Tech Summit. And, I saw exhibitors, everyone from, ESPN was there, and there were lots of body monitoring products like the Zio. Talk to me a little bit about, what do you think makes a company successful when they're kind of growing
right.
into this emerging area?
So again, these things come together, and sports and fitness is both for professional athletes, and there's the whole 3D part of it and watching these great sporting events. But more interesting to me is you can achieve your personal best using technology. You can understand how you're performing. You know, it's like being on a diet. You delude yourself until you start writing down what you eat. Oh, yeah, I guess I went over. So you think you're getting exercised, but a body fitness meter worn on your arm can actually tell you, how fast your heart was beating, how many miles you went, how many vertical feet up and down you went. I was just in Vail skiing, and they are all computerized now so that your tag actually monitors the vertical feet you've skied, because it checks you in every lift you go automatically, and then you go back to your room and it shows you everywhere you've been on the mountain, how many vertical feet, at what speed, and you can share it. Social media is also a really important part of this. You can share it with your friends. And so it's things like that. It's things like, I'm a bike rider, but my bike helmet now has a video cam, so you are with me on this ride. It's things like my youngest son is a big outdoors guy, and I used to freak all the time because I couldn't track him, because once you're out of a GPS range or a cell range, I had no way of knowing where he was. Well, now DeLorme last year worked with a company called Spot to use satellite technology. And I can actually see his path now when he's so far off. There's no getting away from me now. I can see where he's going and where he's been and feel a lot safer. So, anybody who does outdoor sports, snowboarding, hiking, skiing, can feel so much safer. Never mind, you now have jackets that hold all your electronics in them, so that you never have to take your mittens off to change your music.
Right.
But I thought one of the most interesting products we showed last year was Recon Instruments, who had ski goggles that were normal ski goggles, but in the very top corner, it gave you your GPS coordinates. It told you how fast you were going. It told you how quick you were taking a turn. So really, somebody who was practicing could get really great. We had the Olympic snowboard champion, Seth Westcott, come and address the audience about how he uses a variety of technologies in his life. And then the other side of it is that we're working closely with people like the USDA, the government, Department of Agriculture and Health, who are both, you know, Mrs. Obama's big mission in life during the presidency is weight control and obesity. And it turns out there's a ton of products for kids. You put on a little pedometer, you walk around all day, you come in, you plug it into your computer, and you get rewards like games and trailers and points to spend on Amazon. So there are these incentive systems to help you get fit. It's getting fit's hard, especially in our modern lives when we're so sedentary.
Right, right, but making it fun and you know, making it a contest or a game. You know,
yeah. It
strikes me that in both of those examples, what's interesting is that this isn't just one company that's making, you know, a single product, but there's almost like an ecosystem of products and services and online, websites or online services that all come together to create this full system or full program that the consumer can enjoy. And to me, that's a really, that's a paradigm shift for companies in terms of the way they innovate. So it's less about, you know, what can we innovate on our own, but how can we draw together a bunch of partners to create a fully integrated system.
Exactly. And that's why you're seeing people like Nike team up with Apple, and you're seeing, I guess last year it was a new Nike watch as well. And you're also seeing things like traditional caretaking things for, you know, for asthma, for blood pressure control, for meditation, where you're seeing a tech company pair up with somebody who has an expertise in any of those areas so that A, you don't have to run to the doctor every 2 minutes, and you can monitor yourself. And B, you have a record of, you don't, oftentimes some of the problem is you have to call your doctor, you say, my blood pressure, I think it's high today. They say, oh, no, that's perfectly within normal limits. But it may not be normal for you, but you know, have a history recorded on the computer. So you... It's really empowering, I think, for people who are trying to control anything except for internet addiction, because it's all about the internet. You know, there's music. If you want to go running, you can download the soundtrack of Imperfect 4. You can pick, you know, I want a 4-4 time for the next 20 minutes. I want that beat. I want rock and roll, and it can be there for you. You've got trainers. And I've been using Microsoft Kinect. There's Your Shape by Ubisoft, and it's a workout. It's you know, the Microsoft Kinect system doesn't use a mouse or a joystick or anything. It uses gestures, your hands, your legs. It actually takes a picture of you, scans your body parts, knows like something like 36 joints in your body, and it will say, lift your leg higher, lift your arm higher. I mean, that's more than my trainer does at the gym.
Right.
And it will show me just how many calories I burnt up and let me share that information with the people I play with, so it becomes a little bit of a competition, or you don't have to share. So I think these things just make you so aware. I used to use a calorie counter all the time and put in my food, and then, you know, I kind of got it. I kind of know how many calories a burger, you know, is now, and know that if I'm going to eat it, I'm going to make up for it somewhere else. And
right. So
it's really behavioral. It's behavioral change that technology can help with. And then in outdoor travel, it's being safe and smart and staying within your limits, but knowing you have a lifeline no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And so that's really cool too. And probably the other part of sports and fitness that's going to be really hot this year are cameras that, you know, you can't take your camera to the beach or you can't put it underwater. There's going to be, Sony just came out with a HD camera that goes underwater. DXG has one as well. So now, like, you can record and then share these things immediately. And it's just great fun. So I think that the video camera part of it will be very exciting to people.
Right. Well, Robin, you have given us a great sampling of all the exciting developments in this area, and I know that people are going to want to learn more and keep on top of things. So for my readers, I would recommend that you go to Robin's website, which is livingindigitaltimes.com. So it's all one word together, livingindigitaltimes.com. You can kind of keep abreast of latest developments, find out more information about the upcoming conferences and exhibits, and learn more about Robin as well. So, Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. Like I said at the beginning, I have been an admirer of yours for a long time, and I just really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me and to paint a very exciting vision of the future for my listeners.
So thank you very much. You should tell your listeners, I just came from the graduating class in a nursing home where 97-year-old women and men had mastered Facebook and video chat. And it was,
Wow. You've
never seen anything so thrilling. So I think the great news for you and your readers is technology is always changing, and you know, we have to make sure we use the good parts of it to be better people. It's been great. It's been great talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at DeniseLeeYan.com. Take care, and thanks again.